The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Parashas Shalach. This week's Parsha, the sending of the Meraglim, of the spies, the scouts, to scout out Eretz Yisrael. And this took place not long after the receiving of the Torah. Klal Yisrael received the Torah. It took place the year after they received the Torah, and they stayed there till the following year. And then they were coming to Eretz Yisrael. And this was on Reish Chodesh Tammuz. And they were supposed to go into Eretz Yisrael. And they didn't have trust in the Almighty. And they came to Moshe, and they said that we want to see the land first, and we want to see if we're capable of conquering it. And Moshe Rabbeinu went to the Almighty, and he said, Shlach lecho anoshim. If you want, then go ahead. L'daitecho, ani einer metzavra. I'm not commanding you to do this. Because as far as I'm concerned, there's nothing to be concerned, there's nothing to worry about. But if the people are not confident, and they want to scout out the land, so then let them do so, but on their own. And they appointed a leader from each tribe, Kulam Anoshim. They were all very prestigious people. And they went to scout out the land. And they were there for 40 days. And they returned on the 9th of Av. And they were Meitzi Dibas or Oretz. They slandered Eretz Yisrael. They said that it's a land which is we will not be able to conquer. It's a land which consumes its inhabitants. Great giants live there. Great nations live there. Vicious nations live there. And they said it would be much better if we would go back to Egypt. And they caused the panic amongst the people. They caused the panic amongst the people. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared, and he said that this is enough now. 10 times you have tested me since you came out of Mitzrayim, and now I am not going any further. And first he wanted to destroy all of the people, and then Moshe convinced him not to destroy all of the people. So all of those, the spies, and all of the people that listened to the spies, the spies were killed immediately, and the other people, there was a gzar din, a decree, that they will not go into Eretz Yisrael. So therefore they wandered in the land for 40 years, in the desert for 40 years. Actually, they would have gone in the second year to Eretz Yisrael, but because of this, the decree was that they should wander for 40 years in order that everyone who was at that time 20 years old would die off in the desert, and the new generation would go in. Shevet Levi, the Levim, they were not included in this. The women were not included in this. Kolev ben Yefune, Yeshua ben Nun, but otherwise, the whole nation. This is from the greatest tragedies that took place in our history. And the Gemara says it was because of Meitzi Dibas or Oretz. They slandered Eretz Yisrael. So this evening, let's spend the time going into this Aveda, like we've done many times in the past, but this is something that we have to keep learning over and over, into the prohibition of Lashon Hara, of slander. If someone speaks badly about his fellow man, this is called Lashon Hara. Or if someone hears something badly about his fellow man, and then he repeats it to his fellow man in the name of the person that said it, tale-bearing, this is called Rechilus, which is also linked with Lashon Hara. These are Vedas, even though one would seem they are not so serious, and even though in the eyes of the public they are not so serious, these are from the most serious averis in the Torah. According to the calculation of the Chofetz Chaim Zichreinu Livracha, the great Torah sage which lived a few generations ago, he calculated that through speaking Lashon Hara it's possible for a person to transgress 17 negative commandments and 14 positive commandments. So you see, we're dealing here not with one prohibition or two prohibitions, but with a total of 17 negative commandments and 14 positive commandments, the possibility of transgressing this. In the Gemara in Erechin, and Aftes Vov, the Gemara brings Kolam Asapel Loshen Hora Magdil Aveines Keneged Shvichazdomim Averizorev Vigilu Arayis, that whoever speaks Loshen Hora, this is speaking about a person who is Rogel, who is a gossip, he speaks Loshen Hora on a regular basis. Magdil Aveines, so his Aveides will be as great as a person who has transgressed the Shleisha Chamures, the three cardinal Aveides of the Torah, which is Aveiris Zora, idolatry, Shvichas Domim, spilling of blood, and spilling of innocent blood, and Gila Arayis would be adultery and incest. So this is what the Gemara in Erechin compares it to. And the Rambam writes in Perek Zayin, Halacha Beis of Hilchos Deos, that through Rechilas, through tailbearing, a person brings Shvichas Domim. He brings to murder. And when a person speaks Lashon Hara, which is even greater than tailbearing, he speaks evil, he speaks something derogatory about his fellow man, not in his presence. So the Rambam writes, Afal Pisha Hu Emes, even though this is true, Hareza Machriv Esa Olam, he has destroyed the world. So we see that just by citing a few sources, this prohibition is very, very severe. Let's briefly trace this prohibition to see what its consequences have been. At the beginning of the creation of the world, in Parshas Bereishis, the serpent transgressed this mitzvah. He came to Adam HaRishon, or to Chava, the first woman, and he slandered the Almighty. He said, are you allowed to eat from this tree? And she said, no. The Almighty said, we cannot. He said, the reason why the Almighty cannot told you not to eat from this tree is because he ate from the tree and he became wise and he was able to create the world. If someone else does this, so then there'll be another God in the world. And this the Almighty doesn't want. This is why he prohibited you. So his Aveda was Loshon Hara. What happened? He brought a total destruction to himself and to his seed. The serpent was Oro Mikol HaChayos. The serpent was the most clever of all of the wildlife. The fact is, he was the king of the wildlife, not the lion like we know it today. But at that time, it was the serpent. And the serpent was the only creature that walked upright, besides Adam, besides man. Kodesh Baruch Hu took his legs and cut them off completely, where he had to crawl on his belly. And he brought a total, and he became Oru Mikol HaChayos. He became the most cursed, not only from man, but from all of the creatures of the world. There's no creature that gets along with the serpent. He brought a total destruction to himself and his seed. He brought a tremendous pain and anguish to Chava and her seed, the pain of childbearing and child rearing, and he brought anguish to man, whether he'll have to sweat by the sweat of his brow in Gan Eden. He had no work to do. A river came through and irrigated a beautiful garden, and everything came to him by itself, and now he has to sweat and toil for his bread, and brought Misa La'olam. He brought death to the world. There was no death at that time, because they were permitted to eat from the tree of life. It was only after this they were chased out of the garden, and they were prohibited. Brought death to the world.
So these were the consequences of the chait of Lashon Hara by the serpent. Second example, we go a little further in Parshas Vayeshev. Yosef, the Torah tells us, was made to Dibus Ora. Maybe Dibus Ra, he brought, would bring Lashon Hara on his brothers to his father. What became of this? Because of this, it brought his brothers to hate him. And because of this hatred, they conspired against him. And they wanted to kill him. Instead, they sold him as a slave to Egypt. This was the first step in bringing the house of Yaakov and Israel into Egypt, into the first Golus, where they were enslaved for 400 years. So it was through the first Siba, the first cause, through Lashon Hara, Yosef brought himself into Golus and into slavery, and brought all of the house of Yaakov and Klal Yisrael into slavery. We go a little further in Parshas Shemos. Moshe was going into the desert and he saw a bush being consumed, burned by a fire, but it was not being consumed. He went to see what it was. The Kodesh Baruch Hu spoke to him from the bush. Kodesh Baruch Hu tried to convince him to go to Egypt and to free Klal Yisrael. During the course of the discussion, so Moshe said, if I'll come there and tell them that the Almighty has appeared to me, the God of your fathers, and he's going to take you out, they won't believe me. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, Maze biyodecho, what is that in your hand? He said, a stick. So he said, take your hand and put it into your cloak. He did, and he took it out, and it was Ras Kasholik. It was white with the plague of leprosy. The Chazal Darshan, not Maze biyodecho, but Mize biyodecho. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, you're saying Lashon Hara, my people, Heim lo yaminu bi, that they won't believe. They are maminim b'nei maminim. They are believers, the sons of believers. Mizebi yodecho, since you said Lashon Hara on my people, then is what you should be struck by your staff. Mizebi yodecho. And he was plagued with leprosy. Kodesh Baruch Hu cured him right away, but Moshe was plagued with leprosy because he spoke Lashon Hara on Klal Yisrael. So that's a third case with its consequence. We go to another case in Parshas Baalei Sechor, what we learned last week. There we have where Miriam went and she spoke to Aaron some criticism on Moshe. Moshe had separated himself from his wife Zipporah after the giving of the Torah, and he had reasons to do so, but she criticized him. And she said to Aaron, "Arak ach b'Moshe diber Hashem, halei gam bonu diber. Only to Moshe did HaKadosh Baruch Hu speak. HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to us also, to all of Israel and to all of the prophets. And we weren't commanded to separate wife from husband, husband from wife. So why does he undertake to do such a thing? Because she spoke against Moshe. Kodesh Baruch Hu came and he said, how dare you speak like that about Moshe? He became very angry and he struck her with leprosy. Miriam, he named Miriam, it's a Ras Kasholik. And she was struck with this leprosy for 7 days, and she had to go chutz l'machaneh, outside of the camp. The halacha is that someone who has leprosy cannot be in the camp of Israel. She had to go outside the camp for a full 7 days. She was only allowed to return after she was cured. Because of this, we have in Parshas Kisetze a mitzvah In Parshas Kitzeitze, Chof Daled, Pasuk Ches, and Pasuk Tes, Yishomer b'neged tzaras lishmon avoy velasish, a mitzvah that you should guard yourself from getting leprosy. And how can you do this? Zohar eis asheros Hashem alekech l'miriam. But we must constantly remember what Hashem did to Miriam by derech b'tzeischem in Mitzrayim, when you on the way when you were going out of Egypt. Now, on Shabbos we mentioned that the Ramban learns that this is a mitzvah essay, a positive commandment, and the only way you could fulfill this mitzvah, he brings the Sifri Zohar Bepeh. Not only remembering mentally, but to remember orally. That constantly you have to remember, you have to speak about it, and you have to tell your children. Constantly talk about it and tell your children what happened to Miriam, in order we should remember the seriousness of this Aveda and what the consequences are. This is what the Ramban writes. And the Sifri says, what did she do? She didn't speak against an enemy. Maisha was her own brother. And she had risked her life to save Maisha. She loved Maisha. And she didn't go speak this publicly. She only said it to Aaron. And she really had a good intention, because she wanted to bring Tzara back to Maisha. She didn't do it with so much, actually maliciously. And she, what did she say against him? She only wanted to say that he should be like the other prophets, the other Nevi'im. And all of this didn't help her. And this is what we constantly have to remember and have to speak about to our children. And the Ramban says, really, such a thing like this, the Torah should conceal. Because this is a genai, this is a disgrace for many. Not only the Torah didn't conceal it, but it commanded us to always talk about it and to tell others about it. Because, he says, the Aveda is so great and so dangerous that the Torah held, Hashem held, that it's more important that it should be revealed in order for us to know it. Another case is our Parsha. Spies came back and they slandered Eretz Yisrael. What were the ramifications? The ramifications? First of all, that this whole generation should die. That we're speaking here of 600,000 males between 20 and 60. That they should all die in the desert. And they'll never be zeched to go into Eretz Yisrael. Secondly, in our Parsha, a little further, it states in Yudalad Aleph, Atiso kola edo vayitnu es kolam. When they heard the report of the spies, they lifted up their voices and they wept. Vayivkom balailahu. And that night, they wept. That night was Tisha B'Av, because they left on Rosh Chodesh and they came back 40 days later. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, what are you weeping for? I told you, there's nothing to worry about. You will consume your enemies there. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that Atem b'chise b'chia shel chinam, because you are weeping for not a justified reason. Ani kevea aleichem laila zeledeiris. I, as a lil b'chia, I will set aside this day for generations, that it will be a day of b'chia, a day of weeping. And this is the source of Tisha B'Av. And Tisha B'Av is the source of the churbones, the destructions of the Batei Mikdashes, of the temples. And it's the source of the golus. And the Maral writes that there would have never been a golus without this episode, because there would have been no interruption between the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the going out of Egypt, and the Knesset Oretz, going into the land. It would have been done in one undertaking. There would have been the Yetzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah, and the following year they would have gone into Eretz Yisrael. And just like you cannot reverse the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus, it would have been impossible to reverse the Knesset Oretz, the going into Eretz Yisrael. But because there was this hefsek, this interruption, and the whole door, the whole generation died, and it was a new generation that went in. So they never were able to go in. They were never able to stay in Eretz Yisrael on a permanent basis. And this is why it was possible a Golus, where they should be exiled from the land. Where did it come from? It came from this night. This is what it means, that I will make this night a Bechiel Adairis. This will act as the Hefzik, the interruption from the going out of Egypt to the coming into of Eretz Yisrael. And if we go one step further, the Gemara says that in specifically the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed by Lashon Hara. First Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of the Averis of Gilor Aishvich and the Averis Hora, the three cardinal Averis that we mentioned before. And the whole Golos was 70 years. Second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed by Lashon Hara, and the Golos is 2,000 years. Edain Leposko, and it has not ceased yet. So, briefly, we see what the ramifications of this Aveda is. The Gemara in Erechin explains and says, one should think that the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu so-called put his foot down here, the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, this is it, I've had enough. You have tested me 10 times. One should think that Nishma L'Aso, that the reason why he took such strong action here, because of everything together, an accumulation of things. Now the Gemara in Erechin says that's not true. Gemara says this on Daf Tesvov. But it was on this alone. Gemara asked that. And the Gemara says no. It was on this alone. This Aveira of Meitzi Dibas or Oretz that Nishatim Gzadin, that he sealed the decree. Because it says, Alzeh, O Makrova Anusi, I see Zeh Esapomim. It says Zeh. Alzeh Nishatim Gzadin. And this alone, it was not because it was accumulated with other things, but this alone. Then we might say the reason why the Almighty was so upset here is because they spoke Lashon Hara against Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is, Kodesh Baruch Hu takes particular care. It says, Einei Hashem, Kodesh Baruch Hu watches Eretz Yisrael, Mereshis Hashonah, Hatzeif Hashonah, from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. And he gets very upset when people speak badly about Eretz Yisrael. This is something we must keep in mind. Kodesh Baruch Hu gets very upset. Dovid HaMelech said, Urei B'tuv Yerushalayim, that he only wants to see good Yerushalayim. Things that are not good Yerushalayim he didn't see. So perhaps we'll say, this is why Kodesh Baruch Hu became so angry. Because they spoke against Eretz Yisrael. Mora says, no. Mora says, just the opposite. Mora says, speaking against a person is worse than speaking against Eretz Yisrael. It's worse. Why? Gemara says, Ma hametzi shemra al etzim vavonim kach. Hametzi shemra al chaveiroi al achas kama vakama. Because the Gemara says, Tan Yom Reb Lezer ben Palta. Reb Lezer ben Palta said, Borei kama godel keyach shaloshen hora. From here we can learn, kama godel keyach shaloshen hora. How harsh the Aveira of Loshen Hora is. Because they only spoke Loshen Hora against etzim vavonim, against wood and stone. And still we see what the decree was. So if a person speaks Lashon Hara against a human being, how much more so? So don't mislead yourself to think that there was worse because they spoke against Eretz Yisrael. It's true. A person must be very careful not to utter one word of Lashon Hara against Eretz Yisrael, because this is what the Meraglim did. But from here we learn that speaking against a person, a fellow Jew, this is worse. This is what the Gemara says. So, the Gemara in Erechin says how we must understand this parsha. Don't say it was because of the accumulation of 10 Averis. No, it says there. For this alone, and all of the other Averis, Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't seal the, even on Averis Orav, the Egel Azov, the golden calf, he didn't seal the decree. But on this alone, he sealed the decree. And it was because they spoke against Eretz Yisrael, but we shouldn't think speaking against a fellow Jew then is all right. That's even worse. Now comes the question, why is it this way? Why should it be this Aveda should be classified as perhaps the most severe Aveda in the Torah? Each Aveda has its own particular aspect and perspective. But we see that this Aveda is classified at least as one of the most severest in the Torah. And we see its consequences are awful. Why should it be? I mean, after all, you're not doing anything physically to the person. You're not hitting him. You're not stealing his money. You're only speaking. Like the people say, words are cheap. You're only talking. And this is common opinion. Generally, people will say, look, I know I can't hit him, I know I can't steal from him. But words are just words. There are several reasons. Actually, this aspect the Mishnah brings in Erechin, what makes this observation, that we see that the Torah considers words to be more severe than physical acts. The Mishnah brings that we see that by Meitzi Shemra, if a person spreads a rumor about a woman that she committed adultery, then his punishment is Meyasela. He has to pay Meyasela 100 sloim. If a person physically violates a woman, he only has to pay 50 sloim. One, he actually physically harmed her. The other, he only made up some story. So the Mishnah itself makes an observation. We see the Mishnah says that someone who speaks with his mouth, this is more severe in the eyes of the Torah than that someone actually uses his hands. So we must not look at a mouth very lightly. One reason is because in reality a person's words are really stronger than a person's physical acts. Words are stronger. And the Gemara brings this in Erechin and has Vav Amud Beis, Seif Amud Beis. There's a pasuk in Tehillim, which states Shesu b'shamayim pihem u'lishaynam tahalech ba'oretz. They place their mouths in the heaven and their tongues walk along the ground. Which means that while they're walking on the ground, their words can reach all the way to heaven. A person's acts are limited. His hands can only reach so far. If he throws an arrow, he can go a little further. He shoots a bullet, it can go a little further. But it's still limited. But words are not limited. One word can be carried from one end of the world to the other. One word is passed along by people. And it's unlimited to has how far it can go. So actually, words have a stronger potential to do damage than physical acts do. The Gemara brings, Shlema HaMelech said in Mishle Yudches, Mavis B'chaim B'yad HaLoshem, that death and life is in the hand of the tongue. So the Gemara asks, V'chi Yesh Yad HaLoshem, is there a hand to the tongue? What does it mean, death and life is in the hand of a tongue? Le'meloch Ma'yad Me'miso, Af Loshem Me'miso. To teach you that just like a hand can kill, so the tongue also can kill. See, Shema HaMelech said, let me read the entire posuk. In Mishle Yudches Chof Aleph. The entire posuk is Movis b'chaim b'yad loshein v'ayhaveha yechal pirjo. Death and life is in the hand of the tongue, and he who loves the tongue will eat from its fruits, which means that if he loves the tongue to speak evil with, then he'll eat from the fruits. Mavis, death. If he loves the tongue to do good with it, then he'll also eat from the fruits, which is life. So the Gemara asks, is there a hand to the tongue? So this is to teach us that just like a hand can kill, so can the tongue kill. Now if I compare the tongue to a hand, so then I'm limiting it. A hand can only kill within a close proximity. So therefore a tongue also, we should say, can only kill within a close proximity. So the Gemara brings another posuk. This is a posuk. This is a posuk in Yirmiyahu Tesh. In Yirmiyahu Tesh, posuk Zayin. Yirmiyahu said, Chetz Shochut L'Sheinam, the tongue is like a long arrow. Mirmo, a long arrow goes further than a short arrow. So Chetz Shochut L'Sheinam, the tongue is like a long arrow, Mirmo Diber, which speaks deceit, Befiv Shalom Esrehu Yedaber, with his mouth he speaks peacefully to the person, Vekirbay, but meanwhile within himself, Yosim Orbay, but within himself he's setting a trap to snare the person. This is what Yirmiyahu said on the Balei Loshon Hara. See, he had to contend with many people that were trying to undermine him and trying to destroy him with Loshon Hara. So he said, Chetz Shochut L'Sheinam, their tongues are like long arrows, Mirmo Diber, that speak deceit. Befiv Shalom Esreyu Yidaber, with their mouth they will speak peace to a person, Ubekirbay, but within themselves, Yosif Orbay, they are setting their traps for him. So, the Gemara brings, what do we see from here? That a person's tongue is compared to an arrow. So now we have a posuk that it will damage just like an arrow. More than a hand. A hand can only damage something which is in close proximity. But a tongue is like an arrow. Ima chetz araboim v'chamishim ama. Av loshen araboim v'chamishim ama. But we are still limiting it. Because an arrow can go a long distance. It can go 40 or 50 amish. It can go 100 feet, 200 feet. But it's still limited. So do you mean to say that a tongue is also limited? Tamalema shesuba shemayim fihem ulesheinam tahalech bo'oretz. David HaMelech said in Tehillim, this posuk is in
This pasuk is in Tehillim Ein Gimel. Ein Gimel pasuk tes. Shesu b'shamayim pihem, that their mouths are in the heaven and their tongues are walking along the earth, which means there is no limit. No limit. Not like a hand that can only harm something which is in close proximity, and not like an arrow that can go a long distance but it's still limited. But a tongue, there's no limit to it. V'chi me'ached iksiv shesu b'shamayim pihem chet shochet l'sheinim lomali. So if there's no limit, so why do we have to compare it to an arrow then? We are limiting it. K'mashmalan de'kotel k'chetz. Yirmiyahu wanted to tell us that it can kill like an arrow. You shouldn't think that words are soft, therefore words cannot harm, they can kill like an arrow. So now why did Shlomo HaMelech have to tell us that the death and life is in the hands of the tongue? He wants to tell me that not only death is in the hands of the tongue, but life also is in the hands of the tongue. Now here the Gemara is bringing out the godel keach, the tremendous power of the tongue. Not like one might think, that if I strike a person, I understand what I'm doing to him. If I take his money, I understand. But these are only words. It's just to the contrary. Words are much more powerful than the physical act. Like the Mishnah says, "Ha'emer b'fiv yeseh chomer min ha'eseh ma'eseh." Because the physical act is always limited. If it's a hand or if it's an arrow or whatever it be, there is a limitation to it. Just like there's limitation to anything that's physical, therefore to the physical act, it's also limited. But words are not physical. The word is not physical. And therefore there is no physical limitation to a word. You could be standing here, and the words could go to the heavens. So Gemara Baba Basa says, Chavruch de Chavruch Yisloch, that by words being carried from one person to the other, they go from Medina to Medina. See, from one province to the other. So therefore, they have a greater capacity. Therefore, this is one reason why Lashon Hara is a greater Aveira. Because it has a greater capacity than the physical act, and therefore, its destructive powers are greater than the physical act. Therefore, a person should not think that, well, it's only words that I'm saying. A second reason. When you strike a person, you are harming his goof, his body. If you strike a person, you're harming him physically. If you speak badly to the person himself, that's not called Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara is when you want to downgrade the person behind his back to someone else. But if you speak badly to a person himself, that's a different Aveira. That's insulting him. That's hurting him with words. That's called Einoz Dvorim. That's a Leisase. Leisenu. But that's not Lashon Hara. Then, if you insult a person, you're not harming him physically. Speaking when insulting him, you're speaking to him without other people around. You're not harming him physically, but you're harming his nefesh. You're harming him emotionally. You insult a person, you hurt a person, not hurting him physically, you're hurting him emotionally. That's called you're harming his nefesh. If you strike him, you might not hurt him emotionally, but you're hurting him physically. When you speak Lashon Hara on someone, you're not necessarily harming him physically, although that could come out of it. Say, oh, for example, let me give you another example. If you steal his money, then you're harming him financially. When you speak Lashon Hara, you're not necessarily harming him physically, although that could come out of it. You're not necessarily harming him financially, although that could come out of it. You're not necessarily harming him emotionally, because he didn't hear what you said. So where is the destruction? Where is the harm? The harm is in his reputation. When you say something bad about Reuven and you tell it to Shimon, so what are you doing?
you are bringing down, you are downgrading his reputation. You are bringing down his esteem in the eyes of Shimon. So Lashon Hara is when you harm his reputation. Harming a person's reputation is a very serious matter. The fact is, it's worse than harming him physically or emotionally or financially. Because that's a shame. The Mishnah Masechta Avos tells us that of all the crowns that were given to Klal Yisrael, be it Keser Kuna, the crown of priesthood, or Keser Malchus, the crown of royalty, or Keser Tahora, the crown of Torah, but Keser Shem Tov, Ola Al Gabehen, the highest crown that a person has is his good name, is his reputation. Because Shem Meir Ala Etzem, the name is what identifies the person himself. Money does not necessarily identify who he is. A person physically, you can identify physically who he is, but that's not exactly telling us who he is. What's telling us who he is? This is his reputation. This is his honor, his esteem. And Shem Tov Ela Al Gabehem, the greatest attribute that a person has is his good name. And this is what he leaves behind him when he leaves this world. He leaves this world, he doesn't leave anything else. But he leaves his name. And the Gemara says, a name also is unlimited. A name can go from one end of the world to the other. Reputations can go from one. Look at Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu, the whole world knows about him. And it's already thousands of years since he's left this world. So the greatest attribute that a person has is his good name. The Baal Lashon Hara, the gossip, the one who likes to talk about people behind his back, he's throwing his arrows at his good name. He's not necessarily throwing his arrows at his money, or at his body, or at his nefesh, his emotions, but he's throwing his arrows at his good name. This is what he's destroying. And there is nothing worse that you can do to a person than destroy his name. And this is something we should think about, because you have people that constantly talk. They're talking over coffee, or over lunch or supper, or on the telephones. And as they talk, they deride constantly other people. And they think, well, it's totally innocent what I'm doing. It would be far better if they would steal from the person. It would be far better if they would strike the person. But here they are constantly undermining and deriding and destroying the reputation of these people, the esteem of these people in the eyes of other people. So this is a second reason why this Aveda is so serious. A third reason. Many of these reasons that I'm quoting are in the Maral in the Nesiva Loshen. A third reason. If you harm someone physically, in other words, you strike someone, you have struck him with your body. Just like you've harmed him physically, but that was from your aspect also a physical act. You struck him physically. The worst physical aveira that the Torah considers is gila arayis, adultery or incest. How do we know this? Because of all of the physical aveiras, if a person is confronted with a choice of life or death, or do the aveira, he's supposed to do the aveira. When it comes to all physical aveiras, he's not supposed to give up his life for it, with the exception of gila arayis, of adultery and incest. So we see that this is the worst physical aveira that a person can do. But it's a physical aveira. It's something that he's doing with the physical aspect of man. If you do something emotionally,
For example, you become angry at someone. Or you want to take revenge. Or you hate someone. Or there are good qualities in the emotions. You love someone. Now, this is coming from the emotional aspect of man. This is coming from his nefesh. The worst aveira that a person can do with his nefesh, a person can do emotionally, we are taught, is ritzicha, to kill. Because when a person kills, what motivates this? Anger, sina, hatred, koma, revenge. And with this he kills another nefesh. So this is the emotional aspect of man. And that's why the Torah said that rather than kill someone else, you have to give your life. Then man has another section, which is his mentality, his intellect. The worst aveda that a person can do with his intellect is aveda zora. Aveda zora, idolatry. Aveda zora can be done with the mind. When a person denies the Almighty and he recognizes with his mind other gods, this is idolatry, this is aveda zora. And that's the worst aveda that can be done with the seichel, and that's why he's obligated to give his life for aveda zora. So man has three sections in himself. He has the physical man, the emotions, and the mentality, the guf, the nefesh, and the seichel. And he can do mitzvahs or aveiras with all three. And the worst aveiras, on that he was commanded that he must give his life before he transgresses these aveiras. What is loshen? What is when he speaks? Is this a physical act? Is this an emotional act? Or is this a mental act? And this the Maral writes that there is something very unique about the power of speech. We find it was given to no other creature. There are many powers that man has, and it was given to other creatures. For example, the intellect. All right, animals do not have nearly the intellect that a man has, but they do thinking. They can think. Physical, they certainly have. There's some physical powers that they have that are even greater than the physical powers of man. Emotional emotions they have. Animals can become angry. Animals can become jealous. Speech is unique that it was given to no other creature except to man. And the Chazal, the sages, when they always wanted to classify, catalog man in reference to other creatures, they always referred to him as the Madaber, the speaker. Because this is what distinguishes him. We can't tell him the intellectual person. Other animals that have an intellect also. All right, so he's more intellectual. Much more, but still, others have it too. They can't say the physical one, the emotional one. They refer to him as the Madaber, as the speaker. Because this distinguishes man from all other creatures when it comes to Keches, powers that he was given. And it's interesting to note that when the Almighty created man, it states that he created him, Ofer min Adama, dust from the earth, Vayipach ba'apo of nishmas chaim, and he blew into his nostrils a live soul. So he took the dust from the earth, which formed the foundation of physical man. Then vayipach ba'apo of nishmas chaim, then he blew into the soul, he blew into his nostrils a live soul. Then it states vayi odem lenefesh chaya, and man became a nefesh chaya. Now what does that mean? It says he made him dust from the earth, that was the physical. Then he blew into his nostrils a live soul, that was the spiritual.
Then it states by it became a nefesh chaya, a live nefesh. What does this mean? So Unkelus writes, "V'chavas bodem leruach mamallo." Man became a speaker. He became a speaker. This means that he was created physically from the earth. He was given the soul, which brings everything else into the person. And then together, when all of this was blended together, when all of this became synonymous, when all of this became one entity, was woven together as one entity, then man became man as we know him. See, as we know him. And what is that? The speaker. The speaker. This is what Targum Unkelus writes, the speaker. So the Maral says, you see from here, that the ultimate finalization of man was the fact that he was able to speak. The ultimate manifestation of all of the powers of man was the fact that he was able to speak. Only after he was completely created from the earth, and after he had all of the spiritual powers that the Almighty was to give him, and they were blended together, where they became intrinsically one entity, every molecule woven together where it's inseparable, then he was known as the speaker. He was able to speak. The Maral says, why? He says, because speech is something that comes from the physical aspect of man. He must have a tongue, he must have a mouth and lips to speak with. It comes from the emotions of man. The emotions also motivate the speech. And it comes from the mentality of man. Without either one of these, he will not be able to speak. And this is something that modern science is finding out. That many speech problems are physical, and many speech problems are emotional, and many speech problems are mental. Entire man equally plays a role in speech. When it comes to a physical act, you also need to, there's nothing, once man was made one, then all of man participates in every part of man. He's inseparable, but not equally. For example, if man does a physical act, so it's basically physical, right? Also involved is the emotional and mental part of man. Man does an emotional act, basically it's emotional, except the other parts of man are also involved. When man speaks, all of man is involved, and all of man must be involved, and only through this way can he speak. This is the Keyach HaDibur, this is the power of speech. From here we see that Al Tiyah HaDibur Kal Beinecha, don't look at speech as something very lightly. Not only is it a tremendous force, but it's the greatest force that was given to man is in its entirety, and only to man. The power of thought is greater in man, but that man doesn't use entire man for, and therefore it doesn't have the force. Speech mobilizes all of man, and therefore, in a word, are all of the man's powers in one word, and only man has this. And therefore, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, after he had molded him from the earth and gave him all of the earth that he wanted to, and after he had given him his soul and given him all of the soul that he wanted to, by he ho'odim le'nefesh chaya, then he became a nefesh chaya. What's a nefesh chaya? That was man that was able to speak. Therefore, the Maral says, we now can understand the Gemara that says, "Kol masapel loshen hora, magdal avenis kineged gilarai shvichas domim averizorim." that whoever speaks Lashon Hara, then his Avedas will be equal to someone who committed Gila Rais, adultery and incense, incest, Shvichasdomim, the spilling of blood, and Avedas Zora and idolatry. Because each one of those Avedas in its own aspect is basically coming only from one aspect of man. While Lashon Hara is coming from man in his entirety. Therefore, that Aveda is equal to those three Avedas. There's another also he brings, this is in Perek Vav of Nesiva Loshon, he brings a Yishalmi. The Yishalmi says in Mesech Tepeya Perek Aleph, Dalet Dvorim Nifroim in Odom Ba'ilam Azeh, Va'akeren Kayemes Leilam Habo. There are four Avedas that a person, a Kodesh Baruch Hu, collects, extracts. He extracts his judgment in this world, but nevertheless, Kayam Kayamas Leilam Habo, there are such serious Avedas that the capital that he has to extract is still waiting in the next world. Just like we see there are certain mitzvahs that if a Kodesh Baruch Hu will give you the reward, then it's finished. But there are certain mitzvahs that are so great that even if we have the dividends in this world, the capital is always waiting for us in the next world. There are certain avedas that are so great that even if we have the punishment, most of the time if we receive punishment in this world, so then we're potter, we're free, and now we don't have to worry. There are four avedas that are so great that even if we receive punishment in this world, but the capital is still waiting for us in the next world. And what are they? Avedas Zora, idolatry, Gila Rais, adultery and incest, and Shvichas Domim, and the spilling of blood, the Lashon Hara. And the fourth is Lashon Hara. And how do we know? So the Gemara says, because by each one is written Gedola. So it brings, Gedola is written by this one, and Gila Rais writes Gedola. And Shvichas Domim, it says Gedola. Godl Aveini Minaseya. Cain, after he killed Hevel, he says, Godl Aveini Minaseya, that the Aveda is too big for me to carry. When it comes to Lashon Hara, there it doesn't write Godl or Gedela, like it's written by the other, but it writes Gedulais. Yikores Hashem kol sifsei chalokes Lashon medabres Gedulais. That David HaMelech said that those that speak Lashon Hara, he said they speak great Avedas. They are speaking great Avedas. So here also we see that the Lashon Hara is compared to these three Avedas. Therefore, this is another reason why the Lashon Hara is such a great Aveda, because all other Avedas are a major force of an individual aspect of man. Lashon Hara is a major force, is a force of all of man, because it's spoken with the Lashon. Now, you must remember that whatever we say tonight in regards to Lashon Hara, the same applies, or even more, just the opposite, when it comes to speaking something which is good. And that's why Shlomo HaMelech wrote, HaMoves B'Hachai B'Yad HaLashon. That just like there's the power of death in the tongue, there's the power of life. So therefore, if a person speaks Torah, if he speaks chesed, if he speaks good things with his mouth, if he makes people feel good, if he speaks good about people, it will carry all of this that we're saying. Now there's one other reason that we can mention why Lashon Hara, the Torah prohibited with such severity and has such great consequences. And that is, Lashon Hara is called Lashon Hara. It's called Ra. And Hashem made al etzim, this means it's Ra, evil. There's a certain evilness, the Maral writes, there's a certain evilness in Lashon Hara that we do not find by other Averis. And what is that? What drives a person to speak Lashon Hara? if we'll examine it, we'll see really that there is nothing that's driving the person to speak Lashon Hara. If a person eats something that he's not supposed to eat, he eats treifas, he eats nevelas. Incidentally, it would be very important to mention here that Lashon Hara is far, far more a greater aveira than treifas and nevelas. Far more important. And not even far more important, they cannot even be compared in the same vein. Not even be compared in the same vein. And the Chofetz Chaim writes this. See. And that's important because you got people there when it comes to... He says, you got people there when it comes to eating some soup, he writes, from a tray for chicken, they run from it like poison. Which is good, they should. But meanwhile, constantly they speak Lashon Hara. And he says, Lashon Hara is 1,000 times worse. Okay, so that's something that we should know. But let's say a person eats nevelas, eats treifas. It's a terrible avera, but we can understand why he's doing it at least. Why is he doing it? Because it's good, tastes good. We once brought to Teres Kanim brings that a person shouldn't say that nevelas and treifas don't taste good. He should say they taste good. They do. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that we're not allowed to eat from it. But we can understand why he's doing it. A person steals. It's a terrible aveira. But at least we can understand what he's stealing for. Giroi HaYetzer, this is called Giroi HaYetzer, because the Yetzohora is driving him to it. The Yetzohora of Taiva, of desire, or the Yitzhar David Zora, there's other Yetzohora. If it's a physical Yetzohora or an intellectual Yetzohora, there are two Yetzohoras. One a physical Yetzohora, another an intellectual Yetzohora, they are driving him to do it. And the Yetzohora is not something simple to contend with, so we can understand why he's doing it. But because he has something from it. He has something from it. But when a person speaks Lashon Hara, what does he have from it? He doesn't eat. He doesn't gain. He doesn't steal. What does he have from it? He has nothing from it. Yet he constantly speaks Lashon Hara. He constantly downrides other people, even though he has nothing from it. This means there's no Giroi HaYetzer on it. This means that the Yetzer Hara is not driving him to it. So Morale says like this. A person can be good in essence, except the Yetzer Hara drove him to it. We have found even great tzaddikim, the greatest righteous people of our history, were driven to aveiros. And tzaddik boretz, asher yaseh tevel yechtor. There's no righteous person that will not do something wrong. So the greatest righteous people of our history were driven to aveiros. They were good, except the Yetzer Hara drove them to it. But if we find an aveira that a person does without Giroi HaYetzer, without a Yetzer Hara driving him to it, there we must be careful. That's the sign that not the person is good, except the Yetzer Hara is driving him to it. He writes, that's the sign that the person is ra, that the person himself is evil, and therefore he's drawn to evil. And this is why the Lashon Hara is called Lashon Hara, Lashon Hara, because there is a very small Giroi HaYetzer, there's a very small motivation from the Yetzer Hara. And if a person has a desire to speak Ra, this is a wanton destruction. This is, for example, what happens if you have someone, he's walking along and he sees a beautiful Rembrandt painting. Beautiful. And he takes a match and he burns it. What would you say on this person? Is it a meshugana? Steal it if you want. Steal it and sell it for $1 million. But burn it. You would say that there's something wrong with the man. This is a pathological disease. This is Lashon Hara. This is Lashon Hara. It's a pathological disease. People go around destroying other people's reputations and they gain nothing from it. They gain nothing from it and they're enjoying it. The fact that they could enjoy it, so now something's wrong with them. Now this is a Gemara. What we're saying is a Gemara. What's the Gemara? The Gemara brings an Erechin and has Vava Medbeis. The Gemara brings a Pasuk from Kehelis. The Pasuk from the Kehelis Omer Ish Lokish by the Ksivim Yoshu Hanochash Belei Lachash Vein Yisrael Lebalaloshim. This Pasuk is in Kehelis Yud. Let's see the Pasuk in Kehelis Yud. Im Yishay Hanochosh, Belelochash, Vein Yisrael Levala Loshun. Im Yishay Hanochosh, Belelochash. A serpent will bite even without Lochash. Lochash were those sorcerers. There were certain sorcerers that could say words and motivate a serpent to bite with it. So the Kehelis Lemamelech said that a serpent will bite without anyone motivating it to bite. Vein Yisrael Levalaloshen, but he's no better than the Balaloshen, than the one with the tongue. Now what does this mean? So the Gemara brings, Omer Ish Lokish. What does this mean? Lo'osi lovei miskapsis kol achayis ubos eitzel mochos. That in the world to come, all of the creatures will come around to the serpent and they'll look at him and they'll say, Ari deris veichel, zev teri veichel, ato ma'ano yishloch. The lion, he kills to eat. The wolf kills to eat. You go around biting people. What for? They'll all wonder on him. Now this means as follows. In the world to come, when everything will be sorted out, they'll see that there's a creature that is a freak. There's a creature that is totally alien to human civilization. Because the lion at least destroys to eat, and the wolf destroys to eat. But the serpent, he bites for no reason whatever. He will bite and kill even though he doesn't eat. So they'll come to him and say, why are you like that? See, he will answer, V'chima Yisrael Balaloshen. He will answer, why am I any different, the human tongue? This is what he answers. So that's what Shlomo HaMelech says, Im Yishay Hanochash Berei Lochash, Ma Yisrael Balaloshen. This teaches us that the one that destroys with the tongue is the same as the serpent that destroys with his poison. Just like the serpent that destroys with his with his poison is wanton destruction for no logical motivation, but because he is total ra, so the Balaloshen, when he destroys, this is loshen hara, because of evil, there is no giruya yetzer. From this we understand, incidentally, that's the connection between the serpent who spoke Loshen Hara and the punishment that he became such a creature. From this we see that the Baal Loshen Hara is alien. He's alien to human civilization. Because of that, so we can understand two halachas. One halacha is that the one who speaks Loshen Hara is stricken with tzaras, we learn, is stricken with leprosy. Leprosy was a disease which was totally alien to the human civilization. It was something very alien, very rare and very alien. And this is why he's stricken with this. And secondly, we see that when a person had leprosy, this separated him from the rest of civilization. He had to go chutz l'machane. He had to go outside of all of the camps. Bodah Yeshev. He couldn't even dwell together with the other Tamein, with the other impure people. But Bodah Yeshev, he had to dwell in isolation. He sat like a mourner, withdrawn from society. Because since he had this spiritual disease of Lashon Hara, which is totally alien to human society, because human society generally does good. If they do badly, it's because they're driven to do it for some ulterior reason. Therefore, he was sticking with the saras, and he had to go out of society. And we see that his tongue had a force also to make a division in people. People were created to be together. The Gemara says, "Vetzafso nivra." Kodesh Baruch Hu created people for a society to live together. Who mavdil bein olam lachavera? With his lashon hara, he separates people. He brings hatred between people. Therefore, he had to go away from society. And this is his power, and this is his punishment. And just one final observation. Actually, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the power of speech to people to bring them together, because it's through speech that we communicate. We have, the human beings, have the wonderful communication system of talk to bring them together. If a person uses his speech to divide people, it says the Baal Lashon Hara brings mavdil bein ish l'ishta, he divides a wife from a husband, or odem l'chaveray, he is taking this power of speech and using it just for the opposite reasons that it was given to him. Therefore he's stricken with this leprosy, and he's thrown out of all of the camps of Israel. So this is another reason, because it's a total, it's ra in essence, and it's alien to the human society. This is another reason of its severity. So we listed four reasons. One is actually the power of the word is far greater than the power of the hand, because the power of the hand is limited, but the power of the word has no limits. Secondly, because when he speaks Lashon Hara, he's speaking against the shame type, the reputation of man, which is the greatest thing that man possesses, his esteem and his reputation. Thirdly, speech motivates all powers of man, and therefore it's man in his entirety, not just one aspect of man. And fourthly, because it's something which he's not driven to by ulterior motives, which is a sign that it's Lashon Hara, it's evil in essence, and therefore it's alien to the human society. And therefore he was given punishments accordingly. So these are a few thoughts on this Aveda of Lashon Hara, which has to do with our Parsha of the Meraglim. And we must remember what Shlomo HaMelech said. He said that Hamovis v'hachayim biyad haloshon, the ohaveho yechal pirjo, that those who love the tongue will eat the fruits. And therefore, a man must always use his tongue for loshon tov, for good words, and then he will have tremendous fruits from this.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226 Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.